So what I'm going to do is give you sort of an overview of what we did to sort of set the stage for the remainder of the presentations. Yay! And the first thing I need to do is to disclose the fact that I have absolutely no financial relationships with anybody here, even though I grew up in the state of Indiana, where the majority of travel trailers that are used in the United States are manufactured, and I know where Napanee, Mishawaka, and Shipshawana all are and can tell you the best restaurants in those communities. And I should disclose that my parents once owned an Airstream travel trailer in the 1980s on which they took vacation. And I actually stepped in and out of that travel trailer on a few occasions myself. Also, we need to let you know that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has not approved us, so we're hanging out here on our own. I want to acknowledge my co-authors who are also co-workers and who we worked hours, nights, weekends, throughout the past year to help this project move forward. And at the end of this speed talking exercise, we hope that you will be able to take away a bit of an understanding about how risk communication models and theories can apply over a long haul. And why do I think that that's important? It's because if you talk to people about risk communication, many people often layer that directly onto media relations, and they think it's only for use in spokesperson training. And what we're going to propose to you is you can use risk communication theory and models to inform the structure of your operational response for a lengthy response. So the tenets that we look at most frequently and that we have done the most work with at CDC basically can be summarized as outrage, trust, the effects of stress, and the impact of emotional status on information retention. Outrage is best described by Peter Sandman's elegant formula that says that the level of the risk that people perceive is equal to the statistical level of the hazard, which is what all of our scientists want to convey, and the magnitude of outrage that people feel about that hazard. So there's a multiplier effect that gives you the actual risk that people are perceiving. And you will see that described as we move through our presentations. Trust is exceedingly important for anyone who works in a government agency. As a member, a representative of government, we are already mistrusted. And so establishing, reestablishing, and then maintaining trust is integral. At CDC, we use the work of Paul Slovak, and also Baruch Fischoff in this area. Effects of stress, Vince Covello has done extensive research that demonstrates that when people are under stress, they have difficulty receiving and retaining information. And that work has been amplified recently by a new researcher at the University of Maryland, Dr. Monique Turner, who is looking at the intersection of psychology and communication and finding that when people are under emotional stress, they go out and they do enormous amounts of information seeking, but they have very low amounts of information retention. As Peter Sandman said prophetically in 1987, the risks that kill you are not necessarily the risks that anger and frighten you. Let's take a look at what Becky Gillette, who is the formaldehyde campaign chair for the Sierra Club, testified before Congress in April of this year. She was referring to the period February of 2006 to February 2006 to 2007, when she said, that was 1 year of time where tens of thousands of families were exposed to this toxic gas, formaldehyde. It was one entire year when women were getting pregnant and sometimes having miscarriages, stillbirths, or losing their children to sudden infant death syndrome. Children and adults were getting cancer, and people with pre-existing conditions like asthma were finding it literally hard to catch their breath. Now, the most recent data that I could find available, there may be more recent data from the state of Louisiana, and if you're from Louisiana, I apologize to you right now, but the most recent data for which I could find information was for the period 1996 to 2000. And I'm going to take a look at the average age-adjusted cancer mortality rates per 100,000 population. You can see in the period 1996 to 2000, Louisiana outpaced the nation in cancer incidents before anyone was living in travel trailers. Louisiana has 60 to 70 SIDS deaths annually before anyone was living in travel trailers. So events are occurring in people's lives, and they are also living in travel trailers. We don't know if there's a correlation there or not, but the perception was being created that there certainly was. So when we're looking at risk communication, we consider various models. The risk perception model, I gave you the Sandman formula, says that, you know, the risk is more than just the data. And so that's a key thing for us, for we who are in communication, to help work with our scientists to understand, because they are very firmly rooted in the data, and we want them to be rooted in the data because we need to be able to be out there and be accurate. But we are often in a position where we need to help them understand that there is something called human experience and human perception that increases the magnitude of the risk from the public perception. The mental noise model says that if there is a lot of stuff going on, in very layperson's terms, that you can't hear what people are trying to tell you. Now, is anyone the parent of a teenager? If you are the parent of a teenager, you will know that if you have important, life-changing, direction-establishing information that you need to impart to your 13 to 19-year-old. And if your child is like mine, they have a T-shirt that says, "I can't hear you." And that's basically the same thing that we encounter when we're dealing with people who are in crisis situations. The negative dominance model, we have probably all experienced and exercised ourselves. That says we remember negative information way more than we remember positive information. So we know if we're in marketing that three times as many people will hear about your bad experience at Walmart or with AirTran as heard about the good experience that you had with either of those businesses. And finally, the trust determination model says that the person who is speaking and the person who is the channel for the communication goes a long way toward establishing how trusted that entity is. So those are some of the areas that we look at. As you can see, we had a broad span of audiences that were interested in this. And one of the things we did very deliberately in our communication was to make the decision that the number one audience, the people that needed the information first, fastest, and most thoroughly, were the people who were living in the trailers and experiencing the actual condition. We really fought for that because there were those who thought that other people on that list should be higher on our list of audiences. Now, this is a possessed slide, and I apologize for that, but I'm pleased to fly in the Venn diagram that is an obligatory feature for any CDC presentation at a public meeting. And this shows you our response structure. You will note that it's different from the typical wiring diagram that you see for organizations, and that's purposeful, and it also is reflective of our consideration of the theory. What we discovered as we were going through this was every aspect of our response affected every other aspect. We could not manage it if we had separate boxes all reporting to a box that was above them. We also had experts in every team, and when you have a team that's assembled that is of that high quality, you need to let those people go forward and do their work. So we set up a hub and spoke type of approach that has each of our major functions, and then each of those major functions connected to interest groups, stakeholders that they were particularly responsible for, or to specific audiences for which they were responsible. We put this group together within 24 hours of receiving the assignment in November of 2007, and these 23 people worked practically nonstop for the next 12 months to make this happen, and worked seamlessly and integrated. So it's a very different kind of a model for response. We have used it in three other responses since, and we're finding that it has a good level of resilience and is actually working for us better than the standard wiring diagram. In communication planning, we operationalize the theory by looking at the need of non-governmental target audiences and how we could tailor information, making sure that our information was correct and consistent. So we were dealing with the risk perception component, we were dealing with mental noise, we were dealing with negative dominance, and we used, as you can see, we developed materials. I should probably flip this around a little bit, but as you can see, outreach was a major part of what we did, doing person-to-person communication, which is the old-fashioned way of doing it, I would point out, although you'll hear that we had some technology attached as well. When we developed our materials, we tailored them to audience to deal with the risk perception issues. We were consistent in our messages, and over the 12 months, our messages did not change to try to cut through the mental noise so that when people came to CDC, they heard the same thing repeatedly, and they heard it from everybody who worked for CDC. We tried to be responsive to needs that the audiences identified. People who lived in the trailers actually were not as concerned about formaldehyde as they were about other things. And so we had to be attentive to the fact that there were things that they were interested in that we needed to be responsive to that they felt were real health concerns in addition to formaldehyde, even though the rest of our audiences thought that formaldehyde was the be-all, end-all. And finally, we updated people regularly. We told them when we were going to be updating them, and we kept working on this on a regular basis to improve our trust factor. And We had two approaches to this. One was universal accessibility, using technology to make sure information was available to everybody and the same information was available to everyone at the same time. So no matter what entry channel you used to CDC, you got to the same ports of information, whether you were a trailer resident, someone in a helping agency, or someone who was a staffer of a member of Congress. And we also tried to personalize our channels so that we could get to people very directly in a way that they wanted to receive information. As a result, and I am not going to give you a lot of data on evidence here, but we did alter the perception of risk. If you look at the news stories, which is one measure of how people perceived it, you began to see more factual information moving out about formaldehyde. And we have seen since, as trailers have been distributed in other states in the aftermath of disasters, that there is a differing perception as those trailers are going out. Negative dominance was moderated. People are still not happy about dealing with living in trailers, so we moderated that a little bit, but what we found was that people were not as negative about their experience with government, and that was an interesting component to take a look at. We were able to cut through a lot of the external noise that people were experiencing, and the thing that we were very pleased about, and this also as a measure you can look at the news reports, trust in CDC as a government entity remained high and remained constant, and in fact, one of the people who attended one of our community involvement sessions was overheard to correct a fellow community resident by saying, no, no, they're the good guys. So we always want to be the guys in the white hats, and that was one of the most pleasing outcomes that we had. If you need to be in touch with me, we all at CDC have user-friendly emails, so you can just email me at jtelfer@cdc.gov. I do eventually answer all emails, and I think we're also easily searchable on the web. So thank you very much.